It's Wednesday, June 28th. The NBA draft is come and gone, and the Bucks took home some hardware at the NBA awards show. All is seemingly well in Bucksland, right? Over to the Brewers. They'll most likely be in first place on July 1st, but how many All-Stars will they get? And who really cares about the NFL's top 100? We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Episode 243. Mitch on the ones and twos as always. Charlie here with you. Happy before the fourth weekend to you. Coming to you on a Wednesday. Mitchy, how are you, buddy?
Good, man. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, dude. Always a good time to get the podcast going. A lot happening. It's not been a quiet summer. I think, obviously, the Brewers playing good baseball has helped that out, as well as the Bucks having more drama than most Bravo shows. So, the reality show
that is the Bucks.
Exactly. And that's kind of what's happening, and we'll talk about that as well as, you know, other things. And, yeah, it's right before the 4th of July. I don't know when we'll podcast next week, if we will at all. We'll just sort of see. With the fourth kind of being smack dab in the middle of the week, it kind of makes things difficult. Although I do think it would be fun maybe on Thursday right prior to your birthday doing the recap, because God knows there will be a recap. So
a recap and a preview.
And then the worst week of sports is upon us after your glorious birthday.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, we'll talk about the Bucks, the draft, and then the personnel moves they made. And kind of what's going in there, and kind of try to dig into that. Then talk about the Brewers, and Brian Braun, Jonathan Villar being back. We'll also read some tweets from Red Sox fans who are mad about Travis Shaw. I just decided to make that a segment because it is enjoyable. Sometimes I hate that when like digital companies do like, oh, here are all the tweets that people said about him. Like, here are all the NBA stars tweeting about this game. Oh, no shit. Like, the NBA guys are watching, like, a big sporting event? You don't say. Or the MLB, whatever. It doesn't matter, you know? It's, like, it's the easiest form of content these days, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But then again, like, Fox completely just unloaded their entire digital content platform for video, which, I don't know. I'm a big video guy. I have a background in video, but at the same time, like, the stuff Fox is doing just kind of doesn't make sense. I know we sometimes nerd out about media, but for a minute, I mean, so Fox did that, and then Woj is going to ESPN, the place he despised, place he hated. He's just becoming a sheep. So way to stick it out, Woj. Way to go, bud.
Well, they made him an offer he couldn't refuse, probably.
Well, I'm sure. They backed up the Brinks truck, and I think what ESPN, after kind of trimming the fat, not like these journalists aren't respected, these journalists aren't great. They looked at, okay, who's like our must-haves? Like, we have to keep Zach Lowe, we have to keep Brian Windhorst. And Windhorst, he's a good dude, but let's be real, the only reason Windhorst probably kept his job is because of his relationship with LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just call it for what it is. It's in direct access that ESPN has to LeBron. He's a good job, he's good at his job. From all I've been told, he's a good guy. So I'm not gonna rag on him, but let's just call it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, then now ESPN's like, okay, so we've got rid of this fat. Now we're going to look at hunting big fish. They got Emily Kaplan, who's from the MMQB. She's gonna be one of their head hockey writers, and now they get Woj, who's gonna be their their top guy, and Fox's like main digital person's gonna head their SportsCenter Twitter account and their YouTube page. So like, they're just loading up the roster now again, and they're reinventing themselves, which is a very fascinating thing to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a good move for them.
Yeah.
You know, considering all the, bad PR they had, you know, in the month of May or whatever
it was. And they're still kind of having it. I mean,
that was April, I think, when all that came out, end of April.
They said recently that they don't have a liberal bias because Hank Williams Jr. is performing their Monday Night Football song again.
Do you think it's why they brought him back? That's a lot of it.
That's like been something ESPN's kind of like pushing, like, hey, we're diverse. We have Hank Williams Jr. doing this, which is like kind of the equivalent of I have a black friend sort of thing going on. But you can tell, like, this summer right now is kind of hitting that let's make a story out of anything. Like, the whole fake outrage about John McEnroe and Serena Williams was absolutely absurd. Just made me want my face to burn. Like, McEnroe basically was like...
He said she'd get destroyed by men, right?
Yeah, he just said she'd be ranked 700 in the world when Serena Williams on, like, Jimmy Fallon or something was like, yeah, I'd lose to Andy Murray, like, 6-0, 6-0, and it'd be over in 6 minutes. So, like, she literally said that. And then also in the interview, McEnroe talks about how, like, Serena Williams is, like, the GOAT. She's the best of all time and keeps, like, saying she's, like, the best woman tennis player of all time. And mm-hmm. So it's, like, we're just kind of at that silly season, right? We talk about it.
Just take things out of context.
We talk about it at different points of the calendar year, and that's really where we are at this point. So, but, you know, then we can move into them Bucks and talk about that. So... really interesting week for the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, they make two draft picks, DJ Wilson from Michigan and Sterling Brown from SMU. Bucks.
I don't think they haven't introduced Sterling Brown yet.
Yeah, that deal.
The trade must still be stuck in the internet.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. It's really weird. And like, if the Sterling Brown thing doesn't happen, I think Bucks Twitter will probably burn things down to the studs because they sold their pick for cash, which is an old Bucks move. You know,
and the Bucks did it last year too.
And they did it last year. They give Sendarius Thornwell, a guy who I loved, who I was like, yeah, basically that guy could be the next Malcolm
Kid Lazarus, and the cronies had to take a vacation.
Yeah. And so
do we even know how they got Sterling Brown, the 46 pick?
I don't know. And that's,
did they buy it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what happened. I mean, the Sterling Brown thing has happened. It's just it needs to be approved, and I don't know what's taking the league so long or what's going on that kind of was the holdup. Like, did they think that – did the Bucks do something wrong? Did Horst make a mistake here?
I don't know about that.
No, I don't know. I mean, he said their phone nearly went dead. I heard him on an interview today, and he was like, yeah, we nearly lost connection to, like, submit our draft pick, which is great.
For the first round?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And can I also say real quick, just as an aside, and I know you're in the radio business, so you can let me know how you feel about this because you're more in the business than I am. How do you feel about, like, when hosts, like, ask, like, questions about, like, because they were grilling Horace, like, oh, are you a Lions, like, Tigers fan? Like, do you like Miller Lite or Bud Light? Things like that. Like, how do you feel? Like, that's, like, very, like, a classic radio trope to, like, kind of ask.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's just a way to, A, fill time, of course.
Okay.
B, you obviously want to loosen the guy up a little bit.
Okay.
And, you know, it's in the interview, and you're trying to be nice to him. I mean, you want him to come back on, too.
Right.
You don't want to sit there and grill the guy, and, you know, he's young. He's just getting started.
Right.
Okay. You know, he's not Ted Thompson.
Yeah, and I think that's where, like, why podcasts have become so popular is because you can kind of ease your way into those conversations, and you can talk about some fun stuff. And, like, you know, I was crazy to listen to Bob Stoops be with the Part of My Take guys, and it's like Bob Stoops.
And it obviously,
like,
depends on the personality of the host too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and the usually
some guys go right into it. I mean, it's, hey, how you doing? Good. And boom.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. I was just curious. So I
think it's, I mean, I think that's my personality, that I would ask a couple softballs right away or something, you know, unrelated to the most pertinent information, and then you just kind of go from there. And I don't know, was it at the beginning?
Kind of like in the middle. It was weird.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I mean, yeah, it can happen. It can vary.
Anyway, so they make the picks. I don't know. The DJ Wilson, I mean, what was your first reaction on both picks and just the overall draft itself? Was there anything that stood out to you? Bucks? Well, like, we could talk about Jimmy Butler in a second here. But first with the Bucks, like, what was your first guttural reaction?
Well, I wasn't thrilled because it was a lot like last year where the guy we took wasn't even on my radar. So, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, you get, as the minutes go by, you kind of like, I mean, obviously when you're a diehard fan of a team, you have one or two guys in mind where, you know, and then it's not them, you're kind of like, fuck, you know?
Was your one or two guys still there at 17?
Ferguson was still there. I wanted Ferguson. Okay. I mean, that would have been, he was in my top, you know, two.
Yep. He was on your
probably
big board.
And I guess it sounded like I think what happened was they wanted Bam.
Yep.
And he went 13
to
Miami. And they got kind of caught with their pants down. And that was maybe like their next guy. But Alex Lazary, I believe, tweeted out their draft board or something.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you saw that at all.
No,
I don't know.
I missed it.
I didn't see it live. I think he deleted it.
Oh.
And Wilson was like fifth or sixth on their draft board.
Yeah.
I think the rest of the guys had gotten taken or something.
I thought it was like nine or something like that.
He was like seven, but like, you know, the top five guys were all top, like eight picks.
Yeah.
You know, so you trust your draft board, right? So
right.
I guess seeing that, it sucks that he tweeted that out because, you know, you don't really want.
Yeah. I don't know if that actually.
Highly classified information like that.
He must have deleted that because I don't think I saw that at all.
Yeah. It got deleted, but I do know that he and Mallory Edens were both in the war room. Take for that what you will.
Yeah.
I mean, just have the kids in there. Might as well.
Yeah, exactly. Take your kids to work day, I guess.
Otherwise, I mean, DJ Wilson, I mean, I've come around on him a little bit. I know he's still softer than Charmin.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. I don't know. The Bucks don't have many bangers. Like, you got Greg Monroe, I guess. We don't know how long he'll be around. He could be gone tomorrow when this podcast goes up.
Yeah.
But I do think he'll take the Beasley role for next year, where if he can beat out Mirza or something, I don't see it happening right away. But I think he'll be that kind of combo forward that can shoot the three, can pretty much score from kind of anywhere.
Yeah.
But might not be the greatest rebounder, might not be the greatest, most physical guy.
He might get he might block a shot here and there.
Yeah, he might
pick up some fouls.
He's got
a
lot of length, which is in line. He shot 37% from beyond the arc in college. So it's a foot shorter or whatever it is. But you know, I think he's fitting with what, you know, it makes sense that they took him the more I think about it.
Right. And there's a dream, like, you could, I'm sure they can envision us a lineup where it's like you just have Giannis carry the ball up the court, and then you just have Thon and Wilson float out to the corners, and Giannis can either create or he can just dish it off to those guys for corner threes. And the Bucks for the longest time had issues with just making corner threes, which are a little shorter and things like that, and they keep adding shooting.
And also, too, and I hadn't really thought about this, the pick might be a little bit of Jabari insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't expect to get a star player from 17,
right?
Which is kind of the other thing people have to take into account with it. I don't think overall people are too upset with the pick. I think at first I saw the initial reaction.
Yeah.
It was kind of mixed, though. There were a lot of people that were, you know, on our social media platforms that were, you know, good pick. You know, there was definitely some of that.
You know what that is? That's the Badger fans who watched him. He was one of the big reasons they got their ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
The Badgers did in the championship game. I mean, Wilson and Wagner were just awesome.
Well, that's the thing too. You know, speaking of that, is that DJ Wilson did nothing but get better this year.
Yep.
So
I was going to point that out.
That's where, and he played his best when they counted most.
Right. And he could be a guy who, now that you have this G League, that where he could play there for November or in December just to get some seasoning, get himself acclimated, and then bring him up as it goes on.
Just like your boy Bronson Koenig.
So the Bronson Koenig thing, I made a comment. You know, I didn't really like Bronson Koenig's whole, he called himself the best shooter in the league.
Yeah.
I don't know. We didn't really talk about that on the
podcast.
Yeah,
that's a little ridiculous.
And you know, I understand there's one thing
about the best shooter in the draft.
There's one thing about being confident. There's another thing about being kind of absurd and obnoxious, and that's where Bronson fell. I respect Bronson Koenig. He's as clutch of a shooter as it gets, but facts are facts. He never developed any sort of pass game. He was always a shoot first guy, and he never fully developed his skills, just like Nigel Hayes. If there's one thing about the Badgers that, and I might cut some shit for this, but you know, this is how I feel. The Badgers don't fully develop their guys for the NBA. They develop them for their system, and then they just don't really care after that.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz Williams, and we'll see about Wojo, because Wojo really hasn't had like guys that are in the league right now. I mean, Henry Allenson for a year. But Buzz Williams did a hell of a job at not only having their guys ready for college basketball, but also preparing them for the NBA. That's why Wes Matthews, Jimmy Butler have been so good in the NBA. So That's something that
I guess the jury's still out on Decker and Kaminsky.
Oh yeah, that's
for sure.
True.
I mean, those guys haven't done much really.
Right.
I mean, Decker was hurt his rookie year. He played off the bench this past year quite a bit, I think.
Yeah, and he fractured his hand and got hurt again.
Yeah.
I mean, but you can't control like a fractured hand. That's like not a a nagging hamstring or a calf injury. It's, right. You know, you break bones. And Frank, you know, Frank just, I don't know. Charlotte, it'll be interesting to see what Frank's role is now with Dwight Howard on that team and see really what it is. But the Koenig move is smart when you're trying to get a team in Oshkosh and trying to get people excited for it. That's a wise, savvy move by the Bucks. Mm-hmm. So I have no problem with them taking Koenig, and you never know. Could he be – I don't know if he'll ever be a star or anything like that, but you just never know.
Yeah, I guess he has as good a chance as anybody to make the Bucks too.
Yeah.
Because they signed him immediately after the draft.
Right.
So
we'll see. We'll see what happens there.
As far as Sterling Brown, he's Shannon Brown's brother, which got me excited.
Yeah.
Because he was a good player. They must be at least 10 years apart.
Yeah. They're quite a bit. I mean, he's 6'5".
Shannon Brown's been out of the league for a couple of years now.
Yeah. Are we sure Shannon Brown's not in the big three league?
He might be.
Where, like, all those guys got hurt the first game they played. I'm shocked that a bunch of washed-up NBA guys got hurt in their first game playing basketball.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Jason Williams got hurt. Someone else got – a couple others got dinged up.
A couple of the big three veterans, the guys who are in, like, their late 40s.
Right.
I didn't even know that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Are you kidding me?
So Sterling Brown – he not only can throw it down like his brother, but he can also shoot like
he shot
a
like
madman.
46% from
Shannon
three.
Brown wasn't that good of a 3-point shooter. I mean, he was a 45% 3-point shooter. Can just kind of drain it. And to me, this guy screams energy eye off the bench. That's going to give you buckets and give you points. Mm-hmm. And the Bucks at times would go through these stretches where they couldn't get a basket, and like. I loved what Jason Terry brought to the team, but those were kind of the moments where, like, you needed a guy in Terry's role to, like, provide buckets. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that's what Sterling Brown's going to do, but it might not be right away. I don't think to expect impact right away is a good thing. I do think there will be some Bucks fans who will do that just because of what Malcolm Brogdon did and won Rookie of the Year.
Yep. Yeah, I kind of forgot about Jason Terry a little bit. I have a hard time believing he'll be back.
Right.
Maybe another 1-year deal. Hopefully he plays less.
Right.
Than he did. And he was a kind of a big part of the team,
right.
Especially down the stretch this year.
Yeah. And, you know, NBA free agency starts, Saturday. You know, we'll see what kind of rumors percolate. Right now, the Bucks are really tight with money because Spencer Hall has opted in. And we'll see what they do and if they get creative and maybe deal somebody. You know, the more I thought about Sterling Brown, people were like, oh, he's a Tony Snell replacement. And really, I think what the Bucks would want to do is trade Rashawn Vaughn's rookie contract with John Henson or Mirza and either one of those guys and package that deal.
Use Rashad as an asset.
Yep, because he's only 21 and he has a lot of time left. And yeah, some people might say it's crazy to give up on Rashawn. I hear that, but
I like Rashad.
At the same time,
Shoddy,
you have to look at the money and what makes sense. And so that, yeah, it's a risk. And if he goes off, you're like, well, you just pissed away a first round draft pick.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, the Bucks are in a situation where they need to hit on every draft pick,
right?
Because.
And look, if they sign Snell and go over the luxury tax a little bit and to say, okay, now we're going to figure out how to get out of the luxury tax with a trade, they don't have to do the trade before signing Snell. Like, some people would freak out if Snell gets signed before, like, if they go over the luxury tax, like, who do the Bucks think they are kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they're a small market team, right? It's just kind of the reaction of fans. But they can still get under it before the year's over. It's not like it's like, oh, they go over it and boom, they're hit with penalties.
Yeah. I know I alluded to it in our group chat this little bit this morning that I'm kind of at the point where like I almost hope they don't re-sign Tony Snell. I mean, I like the guy, I hate to say it, but it's just there's just nowhere to go right now with him.
I think
financially.
Any of you think that signing Jabari Parker is more of a priority, and you know you can get Jabari at, like, let's just say 4 years, 75, and it makes sense to just do the Jabari deal and not do the Snell deal because you're going to save on it, and then you can work on trades to kind of clear up cap space to fit into Jabari deal, then do it, right? And this is where, like, and I hate using cross sport comparisons. I'm sorry, but this is when like Ted Thompson's at his best, right? Where like Ted Thompson, granted, no guarantee contracts, but Ted Thompson just figures out ways to divert money. And like the Sam Shields deal he did was a masterful deal of where it was all front loaded.
Yeah, and Russ Ball's the guy who gets his ass kissed, right? Because of how good he is with contracts and the salary cap, NFL.
And look, if John, and to bring it back, if John Horst is the cap guru that is said to be, he's going to figure out how to make this all work and how to basically play salary Tetris, if you will, with these guys.
Cap gymnastics is the trendy term that I've been
hearing. Is that the hot term? That term of the summer?
Cap gymnastics is cap,
so
where you work ways to bounce around the cap.
So we'll mention a little bit about free agency, but I did want to talk about the Bucks making some personnel moves and kind of odd. So Billy McKinney gets let go, a 9-year scout with the Bucks, highly regarded. Was up for the GM job. Chris Gilmartin, 20 years with the Bucks. He gets let go. You know, it's that just sort of is like, well, why are you getting rid of your scouting department after you've just kind of had all this young talent come through the team?
Yeah. Well, they just lost their GM.
Yep.
And chances are they were going to go with him or whatever.
Right.
And I think they held on to him after the draft.
Yeah.
And then that way they didn't lose all the keys of the castle.
Yeah.
The riches of the castle. And then now the draft is gone. I guess they got to move on.
As I wrote, SnowTap WI, it's a website.
They pushed him out the door.
I kind of pointed out that's something that all sports do. NFL does that a lot, too, where they'll keep scouting guys until the draft's over, and then they'll let them go. Baseball, too. So
yeah, I'm not crying over that. Really, too bad.
And the more I think about it, I'm not either. I was a little harsh this morning, but maybe it was just my overall been kind of confused with what the Bucks are doing. But, you know, you've definitely not been a John Hammond stan, if you will. Like, you've definitely said, like, look, Hammond wasn't that good. Hammond didn't get, like, Billy McKinney had his hand in drafting Joe Alexander. I mean,
there are people out there that say, well, he drafted Giannis, so he gets the ultimate pass.
Right. But,
which I do agree.
Yeah.
You know, it's an awesome draft pick. I mean, we love Giannis. But at the same time,
for every Giannis,
he didn't win a playoff series in 9 years.
For every Giannis, there's a John Henson.
Yeah,
I mean,
and a Joe Alexander.
Right, and John Henson was drafted 11th.
I mean, year after year of making up for your own mistakes. And
right,
you know, I guess we'll see. I mean, you know, I was thinking about this. The two picks that the Bucks made in this draft have Michigan ties.
Oh yeah, that's interesting.
Which that's John Horst's home state.
Right.
So maybe he did have full autonomy on this draft.
Yeah.
I don't know. And to me, that was kind of like, okay, that's good to know that, you know, they didn't take the Jeff Schwartz client like everybody, I was sort of saying they were going to do last week.
And there's
Harry Giles.
And like Harry Giles, I mean, that was people were kind of like, oh, the Kings did so well. I'm like, did they? I mean,
I think they did overall.
Overall, I don't know.
I mean, they've.
I just don't know if I had traded a 10th pick. I don't know if that's what I would have done there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have drafted Zach Collins, I'll tell you that much. that was maybe one of my least favorite picks of the night. Lori Markkanen, though, was probably the worst. And do you want to tie anything else about?
You don't think Lori Markkanen's a good fit for the Bulls?
So I just want to make sure. No, nothing else from the Bucks. Anything to put a bow on? You know, we don't really. There's no free agency preview because we can't really talk about players the Bucks will be targeting, and we'll kind of get into it as we talk about Lori Markkanen and the Jimmy Butler trade.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Nothing.
So
I'm good.
So, no, I don't think that's the guy I would have drafted with the 7th pick if I'm trading Jimmy Butler. I would draft Markkanen if he makes sense. Like, and I know it's a lazy comparison.
Like the team they had.
But if you go Dallas, if you put him on Dallas or even, you know, Minnesota, I think, yeah. If you had the right coaching there, I just don't know if Fred Hoiberg is really going to have to mature this guy who has raw skills, who's afraid of the post. I don't know if that's what you need. Like a Rick Carlisle, a Tom Thibodeau could really do that. You have a guy like Malik Monk who has like kind of just unreal ability. Like Malik Monk could be a NBA superstar.
Sure. He went 11th?
He went 11 to a Charlotte team where it's really interesting with him and Kemba.
Yeah.
So that's a really...
Well, Monk's a kind of a two-guard.
Right. And no, I think that's that makes Charlotte a much more dynamic team.
Sure.
So, but...
Charlotte could very easily be in the playoffs again next year. I mean,
right.
They could, I
oh,
mean,
yeah.
they
yeah.
you know, sometimes you just have a shitty year, you know? Yeah. I mean, look at the Bucks. I mean, they were 41-41 2 years ago. You thought, oh, they're going to win 50 games, and then they were just terrible.
And I wouldn't have been – Dennis Smith would have been kind of like, eh, because Dennis Smith plays zero defense, but he has a 48-inch vertical.
Yeah.
And Fred Hoiberg has coached some really good point guards throughout his college career. And
I was hearing on draft night that the – I heard, I believe, on my drive home on the flagship radio broadcast of the draft that they had Rick Carlisle on, and they were talking about how they were seeing tweets about how there was like audible cheering when they got Dennis Smith. To me, it just seemed like, well, the Mavericks, they haven't had any young talent.
Yeah, the Mavericks like have never made like a that was their first like top 10 pick in like forever.
Probably.
And I guess because
they continue to strike out on top free agents and bring in like middling players.
I guess Dennis Smith is basically like, yeah, I learned no defense. Dennis Smith also had the old tweet like of the year where it's like hard to be walking around with all this wood slanging in my pants. I was like, fuck yeah.
Something about us. It was, I forgot exactly what it was, but it was something like that.
I mean, I could actually look it up instead of just being lazy.
I think you butchered it a little bit.
I did butcher it. So I'm going to,
cause it's a lot funnier than
it is. I laughed for a good, I laughed. That was
Chuck's got to look in his likes here.
Yeah. Here.
It was something like I got the best skills or something, and that skill is slanging wood or something like that.
Everyone has God-given talents. Mine just so happens to be slanging this wood in my pants.
Yep, there it is.
Oh, God, that is fantastic. yeah.
So anyway, where were we?
Now that I've been distracted. Yeah, Jimmy Butler, the Bulls, I think that the pick would have been okay if they would have kept the 16th pick and they would have had
that's really kind of the Bulls already gave up Jimmy Butler and all they got was an injured player.
Michael Carter Williams, just in different form.
Chris Dunn?
Yeah.
You don't like Chris Dunn now?
No, I'm just saying he's old. I don't know.
He can't be much worse than Michael Carter Williams.
Does he not smell like Michael Carter Williams? If you give a little whiff of Chris Dunn,
I've never really watched Chris Dunn play that closely.
Chris Dunn's a good player. He just had a bad rookie year.
Sure.
And the Bulls are enamored with him.
Yeah.
But this goes back to, I think Fred Hoiberg's a pretty good point guards coach. So maybe he's a whisperer.
The trade would have been a lot better had they not had to give up a 16.
Right. If they would have took, I don't think they would have took Patton with marketing, but they could have. And if they would have, they would have been like, okay, the Bulls have a future team. And then they draft Jordan Bell, who Jordan Bell is a stud.
Yeah.
We love Jordan Bell. They give him to the fucking Warriors of all teams for cash.
Yeah.
You're the Bulls.
Well, I mean, hey, they have one of the worst front offices and one of the worst owners in pro sports,
God,
in my opinion.
God bless them, too.
And I've been saying that for years.
And finally, it's come to roost.
They have, if you think about the Bulls.
Yes.
They have the number one in attendance every year.
Yeah.
I mean, they just worship that team. And I have a feeling that's going to start to turn.
Yep. You're going to see like St. Louis Cardinals right now have this where it's like, we sold out the game, and there are like empty seats everywhere. They're like 40,000. It's like, no, guys, the charade's over.
But they never go over the luxury tax.
Right.
They have they're the second, third biggest market, whatever you want to call it, of the country.
Right.
They sell out every game. They're raking in money hand over fist. They're one of the most recognizable franchises in the world.
Yeah.
And then you all have an owner that doesn't go over the luxury tax
to win. And if the Bulls really wanted to like do like a baby rebuild.
I've been saying that since like the Rose days.
If they want to do a baby rebuild, right? And they said, okay, we're going to get rid of Jimmy Butler. We're going to take this
right now.
No, but they're not, though. They're doing like a full one. I'm saying if they would go over the luxury tax, think about this and say, okay, Rubio was available. Why the hell would you not at least just get Rubio, have a little future, and say, hey, maybe we're going to spend some money on Blake Griffin? Why not?
Yeah.
And you have Rubio and Blake Griffin, and you're like, okay. That could be an injury riddled team and be terrible, but it still could be a decent playoff team.
Yeah.
And then we have these, so it's just
it's hard to sell a rebuild on that fan base.
Yeah.
Because you are the Chicago Bulls. But if you're going to rebuild, I guess.
So we talked about the T-Wolves getting Butler, and we said if they got Butler, they'd be a top 4 team in the West. Do you still stand by that comment?
I don't remember saying that.
I actually did. Sorry.
The West is tough. It's tough. The East is getting there. And my thing is, I don't know how much defense Wiggins plays. And I don't know. If Towns and Wiggins were really that good, and maybe they were just lacking leadership. I just feel like they would have won more games with what the team they have so far.
I think Carl.
But with LaVine being hurt too, I guess a lot last year, that probably didn't help.
But then the numbers showed that they were a better team when LaVine got hurt, and they kind of came on strong at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's true.
And
they were playing better.
I would not trade Rubio myself. I think they would be they're kind of dumb to trade Rubio.
Yeah,
I'd actually be hearing offers for Wiggins because I really think that Wiggins is going to struggle with this kind of new era, right?
Yeah, that's true because he's a guy who's scored a lot. Yeah. And now you got to get Jimmy Butler the ball,
right? And I think Butler,
they're pretty much the same build, at least.
Right,
they're both like 6'8" swingmen.
Yeah, the best case scenario for Wiggins is if he can learn how to play defense from Jimmy Butler and learn how to kind of do some of the crafty things that Jimmy Butler does. I mean, Wiggins can score at the best of them. He can just fill up the bucket. But he's not really an assist guy. He's not really a rebounds guy. He's the type of
guy. He's a Michael Redd.
Oh, totally. Who can get you 34 points, but then get you 3 or 4 rebounds and 2 assists. That's it.
Probably 3 or 4 turnovers.
Yeah. So we'll see. The Bulls are interested. Any of the free agent stuff trip your trigger before we go to baseball?
I did see today, being Tuesday, that the Celtics are now trying to get Paul George and Gordon Hayward.
Right. They don't want just one. They want both, which kind of doesn't make sense because like Gordon Hayward seems like a lock to go to the Celtics, which is fine. I think that makes sense. Like Brad Stevens.
So he is a free agent. I'm very confused on that.
I don't know.
He's a free agent.
I think so.
In the article I read today, I think it said he had meetings with Miami and somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, I think Gordon Hayward probably wants to play for Brad Stevens. I think Brad Stevens wants to coach Gordon Hayward again. Gordon Hayward would be beloved in Boston. Say what you will. They just like white guys better. I'm sorry. I think there would be a lot there. And I think Gordon Hayward would provide a steady kind of thing. I love Jay Crowder, he didn't have that great a year, and I think you add Hayward to that team, and they're head and shoulders above. But I don't think getting Paul George makes sense. Why wouldn't they look for like Blake Griffin and establish some size inside? They need size. They need to have some size. Kelly Olynyk's not going to get it done. I wouldn't be looking at Paul George. I'd be looking at a big man, DeAndre Jordan. Even what can we get for DeAndre Jordan?
Yeah, I think he's underrated.
I think DeAndre Jordan would be a very interesting piece to that team. So, yeah, I guess.
Well, because then Horford could finally be a power forward.
Oh, yeah.
Which has happened for, 1 year of his entire career. He can't move anymore, though. That's the problem.
If Danny Ainge said to Doc and goes, I'm going to give you a pick, one of the picks. The Celtics have so many picks, I'm not even going to try to bother figuring out which one.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give you a pick. I'm also going to give you Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart. For DeAndre Jordan, are you doing that deal?
Marcus Smart and a pick?
And Avery Bradley.
And a pick?
Yeah.
If I'm the Clippers, I think the thing with that, though, is Smart and Bradley are kind of similar.
This is
Bradley's a lot better.
And this was like a way archived conversation that me and you had maybe last summer about how good is Avery Bradley? Is Avery Bradley just a role player? And I think we had it out for that one because I'm a big Avery Bradley guy.
So am I.
Oh, wait, maybe. Oh.
I mean, I would love him.
Oh, yeah. Avery Bradley would, yeah, I would, yes. But we've already sold.
I would have traded 17 for him or Patrick Beverley.
Hell yeah. But the one Milwaukee organization has already stole a guy from Boston, so we don't want to do it twice to him. So
talking Travis Shaw?
Talking that Shaw dog. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens with free agency. Chris Paul stuff's fascinating. The fact Houston wants Chris Paul is maybe one of the worst ideas I've heard. I think it's just smoke. I would believe it when I see it. Chris Paul to San Antonio would be super fascinating, and I would really love that. If you want to talk about something that makes the league better, Chris Paul playing with Pop and Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard would be excellent.
And LaMarcus?
No, they'd
have to get rid of him.
That's another interesting guy about who does LaMarcus fit. He's kind of just a problem child a little bit, it seems like. How do you not fit in with the Spurs?
I don't know. He's a good player. I mean, it's no question. I don't know.
And then they're like, oh, you might go back to Portland. I mean, you know, who knows? I heard that. And Portland's like, I couldn't do it. And then, like, CJ McCollum's like, nah, he's fine.
Yeah.
I do like that about Portland, that McCollum and Lillard, like, are on Twitter just as much as the reporters, and they just call them out their bullshit. And they're like,
yeah,
we're fine.
Yeah.
We're okay. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if we have a lot to talk about in that span. Last year, we had Kevin Durant sign on 4th of July. I don't think we'll have anything that crazy. But who knows? Never know. So speaking of Brewers, I mentioned it. You know, Travis Shaw, kind of a hot streak, but more importantly, the Ryan Braun and Jonathan Villar back on the team. It's really nice to see to have Braun back in that three hole. Jonathan Villar is subject to the bench given the hot play of Eric Sogard.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess
Sogard just won't go away.
You look at the lineup is kind of set the way it's kind of should have been the whole year. And it has to excite you as a Brewer fan. You cannot just look at that lineup and be like, okay. So Eric Thames has been struggling mightily. There's no doubt about it. He had that one hot week. But having now the protection of Ryan Braun is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can argue if maybe Shaw should be batting second and Santana fourth and then Thames at the five hole. And, you know, there needs maybe be that conversation on the podcast in a couple of weeks, but I don't know if we're there yet.
I think you got to give Thames some time in front of Braun.
Yep, absolutely. And we saw what Thames did in front of Braun. It was like Tony Plush with a bunch of power. Because remember, Nigel Morgan, let's be real. Like, I love Nigel Morgan. Nigel Morgan will always be like a Milwaukee like guy that'll be part of our history of sports.
Mm-hmm.
But Nigel Morgan does not have that season without Ryan Braun behind him.
Nope.
Not at all. Not one iota. Ryan Braun set the he set the table so much for all of Plush's success.
Yeah, that's MVP Braun right
there.
Yeah,
and that was MVP Braun. And Braun is still feared in the league. Like,
sure.
If Ryan Braun gets going, this Brewer team all of a sudden becomes really good.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what fans maybe hope for, is that Braun gets on kind of one.
Can't give up 8 runs to the Reds, though.
No, they're not. Are they on 8-5
right now? 8-6.
So,
as we record.
That is less than ideal.
Well, the Reds have a good offense, though. I mean, they do. And that park is just a little league field.
Right.
I mean, it's just Billy Hamilton's home run Tuesday night was just, I mean, just a worm burner. And he just skimmed the top of the fence in
right.
left center.
Right. And, it's,
and you know, Manny Pena hit one tonight that sounded like he popped it up off the end of the bat.
Yeah. And it's been kind of a house of horrors at times for the Brewers. It's been.
Hopefully Thames a couple days in Cincinnati gets him going.
Right. Exactly.
Because he hit about, you know, 500 that series yeah. in Cincinnati to start the season.
Right. And I think the Eric Thames sort of stuff is kind of overblown because he was so hot that, like, it's hard. Like, it's so hard to judge. Like, they're like, since his last time in Cincinnati, he's only batting 200. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fine. But you just have to understand, like, okay, he's kind of a new player, right? Like, there was no book on him, so he was just mashing home runs.
Yeah.
Then there's now a book on him. So now he has to adjust to the book. What I've noticed about him is he's striking out a lot more.
Where yeah, he's
not
he's
as patient.
He's not, he hasn't been patient for whatever reason. I don't know if pitchers are making the adjustment
yeah.
where they...
They know they can throw him the low in where he thinks he can golf it, and then the bottom drops out on it, and it's an off speed pitch. Mm. I've seen it multiple times in the last like 2 or 3 weeks where he's had that opportunity.
It's the Corey Hart pitch.
It's a little, because it's not away from him. It's just the pitch
that he cannot hit.
Right, exactly.
And he should not be trying to hit, but he still does try.
Yeah,
to hit.
Corey Hart going to get his number.
He's getting the wall of honor.
Wall of honor on Friday night. That's kind of awesome.
I heard some clarification from Adam McAlvey today that's not nearly the you know,
yeah.
It's not like the Walk of Fame.
Right.
It's not a statue. I mean, it's just, you know. He's a good player. He was around. It's a statistical,
yeah.
I think, sort of barrier that you have to hit.
Yeah. Corey will be there with his, like, 8 children and everything like that.
He's from Kentucky.
Yeah, you bet. Birth control does not exist there. Uh-huh. So, the Brewers, yeah, it's kind of just, we're still riding the roller coaster. They're still in first place because the rest of the division's trash. Like, the Cardinals are probably headed to firing Mike Matheny before this season's over with.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs are down 6-1.
Can't go 500 2 years in a row, Chuck.
Yeah. Cubs are down 6-1 as we speak to Max Scherzer. But one of my favorite things now has been just how much Boston fans are mad at Dave Dombrowski. Jared Carrabas is now like tweeting out Travis Shaw home runs. Carrabas writes for Barstool Sports. Yeah. famed Boston blogger, just for people who don't follow him. Great follow on Twitter. Even if you're not a Red Sox fan, he's very entertaining just overall. But so he tweeted out Shaw's home run on video. And
the responses are gold?
Yeah. So here's a couple of them. It's like seeing an ex-girlfriend that's doing way better than you. Here's a good hot take. Think we can trade Sandoval for him at the deadline? Don't think they're that stupid, but we need him back.
Yeah.
So hold on.
Give me somebody who makes about $20 million a year.
But we have Thornburg, out for a lockdown eighth inning guy. Oh, shit, we don't. Good thing we got the Thornburg melon in that deal. Maybe he can dive for us. Someone said you need to seek professional help for this Travis Shaw obsession.
Yeah.
Which maybe is true. There's another good one. I got to find it. This is also a little Dave Dombrowski's Jeff Bagwell. And a lot of fuck Dombrowski's in there as well. So it's always enjoyable when Travis Shaw hits a home run. So, you know, and like we said, they'll figure it out. I think the Brewers starting pitching is a little bit of a clusterfuck right now, because Junior Guerra is really not pitching well. And that's, you wonder if maybe Brandon Woodruff, you know, who had that hamstring injury, if maybe Brandon Woodruff's going to get a couple chances to show what he can do, because they're not ready.
I'd imagine he'll get one.
They're not ready for Josh Hader. I don't think.
No, he's going to be in the bullpen this year.
They've kind of dug their heels in on that, which I respect, and I think that's the right thing to do.
I do too.
So Hader's fine.
I have no problem with him coming up and getting his feet wet, facing big league hitters in a small sample.
And he's doing okay.
And he'll face all of them probably throughout the year.
Right, exactly. And I think the plan will be then he'll be part of the starting rotation next year come hell or high water.
Yeah.
There will be no reason he won't start next year, and that's how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a lot of hot takes if he struggles early on. They'll be like, oh, he should have just been there from the first place. But, you know, so then continuing on with All-Stars. I mean, I would love to see Travis Shaw be an All-Star. Unfortunately, Nolan Arenado, Chris Bryan, and a host of others.
Jake Lamb.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's third baseman aplenty, so Shaw maybe will be like one of those final votes, like Corey Hart got voted in the All-Star game a couple times.
David Wright.
Come on. But, you know, Travis Shaw.
He's about as washed as I am.
I mean, just an incredible season, and he's kind of starting to become the secondary star, and you're almost to the point where it's like, you don't want to say it yet, but I'll kind of float it out there. If Shaw continues, and then Ryan Braun starts hitting again, you're kind of going to get back to that Braun Fielder vibe where it's like you could easily be down 4-0 before you know it, because Braun hit a 3-run homer and Shaw then followed up with another home run.
Yeah.
I mean, when the 3 and 4 hitters are rolling like that, every team's hard to stop. So we'll see. I don't want to say that yet, but I'm ready to float it out there. So I don't think he'll be an All-Star. Corey Knebel, I think, is a lock. He's been just so damn good, and I just think he deserves all-star credit for what he's done.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's been good. He broke Chapman's record last week for the 38 strikeouts.
Right.
38 straight appearances with a strikeout to start the season.
Right. And he's just a lockdown closer, and he's had some hiccups, but I don't think it's nothing that would say, oh yeah, that's not all-star worthy. You know, I don't think Chase Anderson's an all-star. I think he's a good player. I think he's had a really good year. I just think there have been some up and downs, and who knows what it'll look like with Stephen Vogt catching him. I mean, we didn't address that, but the Brewers take a chance with Stephen Vogt. I actually think it's a great, great move. Two-time all-star.
Mm-hmm.
Good power from the left side. Jet Bandy was doing nothing for the team. I know he caught Anderson well. I don't know how much merit there is that Anderson Vogt will just completely screw with Anderson. He might.
Yeah, well, from all reports, Vogt's a good clubhouse guy, so I don't see why.
Vogt seems like a real Casey McGee. Also,
he does have that vibe. Seems like a real good guy.
Speaking of which, I patted myself on the back calling Eric Sogard like Casey McGee light a couple weeks, like Friday. Wrote that, and I was like, he is kind of like Casey McGee. That was kind of like, just out of nowhere, really likable guy, like all this other stuff. I mean, Sogard played on some playoff team, so maybe he isn't exactly like Casey. That's Casey McGee light. He's not like a full, he's not a Miller High Life version of Casey McGee, just like a High Life light.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And hopefully it won't screw him up too much. But yeah, Vogt's apparently a great clubhouse guy. I'm sure he'll be getting interviewed up the ass.
Probably.
And so to put a bow on it, the NFL 100 wrapped up. Aaron Rodgers was like fourth. I don't even know. I don't even care. It's so stupid. I know
Mack was five. Derek Carr was 11. Amari Cooper was like 20-something.
I know the NFL needs to fit in space, and they know they get like such good reaction, and radio show hosts talk about it, and because nobody has anything better to do. But like, this stuff is just so contrived. Like, David Bakhtiari said that. He's like, it's all like agents. It's all done for drama. Like, that's exactly it. And so it just, I understand why we do it, but just goes back
kind of like
this.
The NBA award show.
Oh, the NBA award show. I mean, the Bill Russell stuff was cool, but
I didn't watch it, but I mean,
Bill Russell
obviously
saying like, I'm going to kick your ass, like to like Dikembe, Shaq.
That had to be fake, right? Like, that had to be.
No, it was
not
funny.
Not fake, but I mean, like, you know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Staged.
We'll see. I mean, well, it's just, it is what it is. But yeah, these award shows aren't great. I don't know. It's just all the stuff is like to get more clicks and to get more views. Mm-hmm. That's all we really care about.
It's
so
that makes the world go around.
At least right now it does in 2017, Mitch. So, okay. We'll be back next week maybe to talk about the fourth and then upcoming Mitch Pratt birthday weekend. Whether we're going to go to Texas Jays or not, that's left to be unknown.
Yeah, probably not.
So, for Mitch.
I just spent $700 in my car.
For Mitch, I'm Charlie. Have a good fourth. Stay safe. Don't put any sparklers in your butt or anything dumb like that.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, guys.
See ya.
See ya.
America.
America.